Well, I am running on fumes. I think my grandkids might have beat me up too much or something. I'm glad that you are here, every one of you individually. I'm thankful for your faith. Thank you for the love of one another, the care that you have for one another. I think we still have some way to go, but your being here is an encouragement. I'd like you to look in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua, chapter 7. And we'll begin our study there here in just a short moment. Joshua chapter 7. You know, there's a saying that it goes around, and it's a pretty simple saying. We all know it, I think, most of us. And the saying is, one bad apple, and you know the rest, right? One bad apple spoils the bunch. And we know that's true. If you have a barrel of a bushel of apples and there's a bad apple in there turning brown and getting all kind of sticky and it's leaning up against another apple, it can do the same thing. So you always want to pick out the bad apples. You might be surprised at the original statement. It was done by a man. It was recorded and found by a man named Ben Zimmerman, and he was a linguist. He is a linguist. He's still alive. And he said this was first stated back in 1340. And the original statement for this text, or this phrase, one bad apple spoils the bunch. The original was one rotten apple quickly infects its neighbor. That was the original statement. That's where we get that from. One bad apple quickly infects its neighbor. We know that that is also true. We have a, and you know, in the context of that, we're talking about a person as the apple, obviously. A rotten apple is that person that would be considered a rotten person, whether that's ungodly, unfaithful, unloyal, whether it's a member of the church or not a member of the church. What people do, and they think they're doing it by, you know, it's just, this is me, has effects that resonate out from them. And so, you think about Joshua chapter 6, and you think about this great victory that Israel had. Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse 20, and we know this has to do with the walls of Jericho. So the people of Israel, they did what God told them to do. And at that time, there was no bad apples among them. Everybody was doing what God told them to do. And here at verse 20, we read, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, sheep and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. And you know, you look at that text, you need to realize that God's telling us something. He gave them commands on what they should be doing around that wall. And at the right point in the right time, it all concluded with the blowing of the trumpets and the people shouting. And they were victorious. And so God's telling us, if you do what I tell you to do, you will be victorious. And you know, we're not naive. I can do what God tells me to do every day. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems in my life. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have walls between me and my goals. But if I do what God has told me to do, it means that I'm already victorious. Why is it? We have victory in Jesus. That's never going to change. As long as we continue to do what God has told us to do. But on the other hand, we also can have defeat. These same people, the same people in chapter 7, something went wrong. Right? I mean, they just had this great victory, and now here we are, chapter 7, just one page. That's all it takes. And what do we see? We see, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not worry all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Well, these are God's people. They just defeated those in Jericho. They took them utterly, destroyed that enemy. So what's wrong? They outnumber them. Right? They're only a few. Look at verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up from the people. 3,000. But they fled before the men of Ai. Mind-boggling. Man, they just took this big city, knocked down all that giant series of walls, actually. And now all of a sudden, 3,000 men are running from the men of Ai. Verse 5, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. When we are not, something goes wrong and we, somewhere along the line, we disobey God, we don't have the victory. And the question here in this text is why? What went wrong? What changed? Okay? And what happened was it was one bad apple in the bunch. And when you think about this in our terms today, when we take Ben Zimmerman's historical record of the account, the one bad apple's a bad person, and he infects other people. What if he had two bad apples? What if he had three bad apples? 4, 5, 6? What if you had a barrel full of apples and half of them were bad? Right? They're just going to get worse and worse and worse. So in this case, the bad apple, his name was Achan. And as we all know, he's the one that committed the sin. We'll get into that here. But the consequence for his sin affected others. And so we want that to be clear in our minds. Sometimes those bad actions they always have consequence. And that consequence can affect the people around you. all the more reason to always look to God, always study, always ask questions. You know, what I'm doing, is it good or bad? Because we have consequence. If it's good, the consequences are going to be good. And if it's bad, the consequences will be equally the opposite. And so, just for a little time, we want to look and see what happens when I do something wrong. When I become the bad apple, what happens? So, you know, one bad apple. I'm going to put a verse up here on either side. Something I want, you know, we want to keep this in mind. The Apostle Paul, he said, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." 1 Corinthians 15:33. And as you look at that, you know, let's remember what he means. That is not a verse that excludes us from sitting down with an unsaved person who has very bad habits and teaching them the Bible. It's not an excuse for that. It's also not a reason for us to shun the world and say, "Oh, you know, I don't want anything to do with those people. They're sinners." We want to convert the bad apple. And Paul's just saying, don't become partakers in their sin. You know, when they're having these robberies and parties and drunken parties and things that are lewd and licentious and wicked and evil, you don't join the party. We know that drinking, like I mentioned this morning, is wrong by God's standard. And so if your person you're with invites you to the bar to have a drink, don't go with them. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you can't preach the gospel to sinners. It just means you don't partake in what the sinners do. And so, you know, people invite you to a swimming party, and the girls are young and old, are dressed in, well, they're not dressed, really. And what do? You don't go. You gracefully bow out. You don't have to say, "Oh, you guys are wicked, evil." The way you dress, you just don't go. Keep the Bible study going. Build a relationship in the Word of God, but you don't partake of that. And there's so many other things that would go with. Anyway, the other one is 2 Corinthians chapter 12:26. If any member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's what we just talked about. If you're doing good, other members are going to be a part of that, of the body. If you're doing evil, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. If you're doing evil, then other people are going to be affected by that. And if somebody's hurting, we need to be hurting with them, because we are all members of one another after all. And so think about those as we look at it. God's law must be respected. That's one of the things we learn from Achan's experience, right? Joshua chapter 6 again. "Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction in it, and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all who are with her in the house." Why? The Lord's brought condemnation on this city. They're going to overtake this city, and everybody's going to be destroyed except Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in her house. Why? Because she hid the messengers that we sent, the people of Israel. "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things." We're telling all the men of Israel, all you, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things. And I really want to focus this word and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. It's the same thing. God's going to send them in. They should be having victory here. And when they get back, everybody should be rejoicing. But God warns them, don't partake of the accursed things. Because if you do, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. And not only that, but your brethren. And so, sounding pretty clear to me, this warning. Don't touch these accursed things. Strong warning. And, you know, it sounds like something that happened in the garden. Then I know God said to Eve and Adam, don't eat of the tree, of the fruit, of the knowledge of good and evil. Fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did for two reasons. One, Satan fooled them. And they were willing to listen to Satan. And they touched what they should not have touched. And that's where the sin came in. And it all could have been avoided if the bad apple, Achan, had just simply obeyed God's instructions and not lusted after the accursed things. Achan did not heed God's warning. Remember, God's law has to be respected. It really is important that the children of Israel are going to be suffering for the actions of one man. So we, you know, in an object setting here, everything I do can affect you, good or bad. Everything you do can affect me, good or bad. No man is an island unto himself. So we have to respect God's command in everything. Right? In John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I think he makes this pretty clear. In verse 48 of John chapter 12, but he, did I mess that up? John 12. Well, I got the wrong verse. But listen, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them has that which judges him in the last day. The word that I have spoken will judge him. I want you to think about that. You know what? I was in Luke. I think I got everything right. I just was in the wrong book. John 12. Just make sure. 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And so we have to have respect for God's word because it's the word of God that will judge us. It was the word of God that's going to be judging Achan, and the consequence of his sin is going to be spread out. And the same thing's true for us. God has given us commands. Jesus Christ has given us of his words. And if we reject that, if we have no respect for him, we're going to be judged by the very words that he spoke. And listen, we live in a world that doesn't respect God. You know, we think in our time that it's worse than it ever was, and it's not. It's just that we grew up at a time when more people seem to respect God's word than they do today. But for every generation after generation, people didn't respect God's word. Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't respect God's word. People were swallowed up into the ground because they didn't respect God's word. Kings were destroyed, kingdoms and nations, because they didn't respect God. Think of Sennacherib. He boasted against God. He told the people, don't trust your God. What happened to him and his army? And so we need to be a people who respect God's word. Joshua 7 and 1 again. But the children of Israel committed a trespass against the accursed things. You got to see the connection here when it says the people of Israel. Because, it, you know, in your mind, it's like, no, it wasn't the people of Israel. It was one man. One man. No. That one man was a member of that tribe, and the tribe suffered because consequences affected that tribe. It says, the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against who? The children of Israel. What he did affected someone else. The consequence of what he did. And you know, there are things that God doesn't always reveal to us. We've read this many times in the past. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us. And to our children forever. Listen, what God has given us, what he's revealed to us, we have that. We have the commandments. We have the words of the Lord. We have the words of Peter, James, and John, and Paul. We have all that. And so we can have victory because we have the words. But one of us disobeys God, and it does affect other people. You know, Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus tells the disciples about what to do with the converts that they just made. And he says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's what he told them. And they went out and they did that faithfully. And the church began. Moses told the people to set your hearts where? On all the works of the law. All the words that I testify among you this day. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46. Just observe it all. Observe it doesn't mean to watch it. It means to live by it. And when they did that, they had victory after victory after victory. When they didn't do it, they had great loss. And every man is not an island unto himself. So we need to realize that all sins have effects, and our sins can affect the brethren. Look at verse 5. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down in the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. The hearts of the people. They're like, what's going on? Why do we had victory over here? Now we have defeat. Why? Why are we being chased by this small group of people? Because of the accursed things that Achan touched. The one things that he took. Achan's sin caused suffering to his brethren. And that's something that we just read. God didn't mince words. He told them, they didn't listen. By all means, abstain from the accursed things, chapter 6, verse 18. And they didn't. Well, he didn't. And so, you know, we study in Ezekiel chapter 18. You know, we're not receiving a condemnation because of what our fathers do, and our fathers don't receive condemnation for what we do. But when a father sins, it affects his family. When a member of the church sins, it affects the family. When we're not obeying God, when we're not following God's teaching, His commands, His wishes, His will, it affects the church. Right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, many people follow the destructive ways because of whom the way of the truth is blasphemed. People follow the wrong path for whatever reason. Right? When we assemble like we have here tonight, we have victory in Christ. And we can say that with confidence. We're not hurting anybody. We're not hurting the church. We're not hurting our family, our friends. We're not hurting one another. We're here doing the will of God, worshiping God in spirit and truth. I'm not at home watching the accursed things. I'm not touching the accursed things. I'm here. You're here. And God is glorified. But what other members do hurts us. Remember what Paul said. If a member suffers, all members suffer with it. If things are going right, we should all be rejoicing together. And so, when... You know, verse 18, and by all means abstain from the accursed things. We've read that. Lest you become accursed. When you take the accursed things, you make the camp of Israel troubled. And we need to understand how important that is. And then Joshua and all Israel with him, because of what Achan did, they took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And see what it says. All Israel stoned him with stones. And they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. That family greatly suffered because of what their father did. They lost possessions, everything, because of what their father did. And so we need to realize our family is affected by our choices. Here we're talking about the physical family, the daughters, affected by his choice. And in the spiritual sense, our spiritual brothers and sisters, we're all affected. We all suffer consequence for what we choose or choose not to do, whether it be good or bad. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16. This is something very important here. We need to remember this. Because what we're not saying is that all his children were put to death. Right? Again, the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Deuteronomy 24:16. We're all going to face death and we're all going to deal with the consequences of our actions. But in life, we need to be as we are now, striving always to be better, growing in the Spirit, asking, Lord, what the disciples asked him, Lord, you know, increase our faith every day. And we need to think about Deuteronomy there, because that's a law. You can't kill a father's children because of the sins of the father. But the kids still suffer. Think about husbands and wives in a family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as, you know, to the Lord. So what happens when a wife does not submit to her husband is to the Lord? The family suffers. What happens in the 20, verse 25, when a husband does not love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? What if a husband does not love his wife? Got divorce, you know, trouble in the home. The kids are raised with confusion. They're raised sometimes with anger issues. There's no victory there, but when a wife is submissive to her husband as she is to the Lord, and when the husband loved their wives as Christ loved the church, the home has a chance. And they have victory. And so what we do, the terrible things that families go through, divorce, remarriage, broken families, you know, we see that all the time in our world today. Women that have four or five children and no husband, and the kids grow up and they wonder, why am I having so much trouble with my kids? You know, why are my boys getting into trouble? Why are my girls having babies before they're married? What's going on? And honestly, I think there are parents that experience that, and the whole time they're thinking, I don't understand. I've told them that they need to be good. But when we break up the family and we're not obeying God, we're not living as God would have us live, the family suffers because of that consequence that we'll face. And, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul makes it pretty clear to a father, you know, you got to work and provide for your family. There are a lot of fathers that don't work. It hurts other people when you sin. It has effects. And, you know, you can't hide sin. Verse 13 here, get up, sanctify the people. That means to set the people apart and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You know, what do? You got a bad apple in a bunch? You don't just leave it there. You take it out. You know, me, I cut off the bad part and eat the good part. But we don't leave it there. God's telling us all the same thing today. Do not be deceived, but evil company corrupts good manners. And when we think about that, you know, we can't hide ourselves. God knew that there was an accursed thing in the camp. He knew that Achan had taken the accursed things. He knew that. And I'll tell you what else he knew. He knew that the people had to deal with that sin. They had to remove that leaven. They had to remove that accursed thing, in this case, Achan, and all the things that he took. Got to get them out of the camp. Got to deal with that. And unfortunately, it was a very harsh way to deal with it. We know that the eyes of the, you know, about the eyes of the Lord are everywhere in every place, keeping watch on evil and good. God's, you can't hide from God. There's no creature hidden from his sight. We're all open and naked. And so there's no way to hide from God, no matter where you go, in the hiding in the cliffs and in the hills and the mountains and the trees in your basement. It doesn't matter. God knows where you are, even when you get in a closet and close the door. And so if there's sin, it's the sin that has to be taken out, not the person in our own lives, I mean. And so what does that mean for us? Sin cannot be tolerated. God didn't tolerate sin, right? Oh, there's an accursed thing in your midst. You got to get it out. God won't tolerate that among the people. It's the same thing is true in the church. Immorality must be judged in the church. That's what he taught the Corinthians. And he commanded that we withdraw from every brother and sister that is not walking according to his commandments, according to what is written and what is right. God's there. He's watching. He sees it. If we see it, we got to remove what Paul referred to as the leaven. And finally, you know, sin can't be tolerated, right? In verse 25, we've already read this. Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Think of that. Punishment is certain. The wages of sin is death. Punishment is certain. All the reason why we should think, you know, with all due diligence, what is right in the eyes of God and follow that path. We do not want to be the bad apple. We want to be that good apple that has value. So, immorality has to be judged. Punishment is certain. And we have commands to withdraw.